The Savior of the World, Volume 1, Book 2, Poem 9, John Baptist and the Deputation. John, who had seen the sign of the anointing bear witness to the people, cried aloud, "He is come, that one of whom I said to you, that he who cometh after is before preferred, for he before me was. Or ere God made the worlds, then was he beside him. He is become before me." Well for John Baptist, in all the acts and choosings of my days, how could I please myself, he there to please? His fullness filleth all things, filleth us. Grace upon grace he showereth on our days. The touch of God's continual kindnesses, the little tender things he doth for each, with scarce a pause to thank him in, all these are of him who but late stood in our midst. The law was given by Moses. All men know that labor up the ladder of perfection, step gained today and three steps lost tomorrow. But grace and truth, these by Christ Jesus came. Recurrence always of God's loving kindness, insight, the power to see him as he is, and in the strength of truth to put him first, for he is before us, in all, preferred. No man at any time hath seen high God. The Son who lay in his bosom hath declared him, and this his witness, full of grace and truth. Now the rulers of the people heard of John. The church at Jerusalem judged that it behoved to make inquiry. Was he the coming one? Credentials of a prophet carried he, a message working in the people's hearts. His dress, his hermit life, these all a prophet's. Nay, might he be in truth the very Christ? Anyway, we of the temple should search this thing. So they sent a deputation to the spot where John all day baptized in Jordan, priests and Levites from Jerusalem, Pharisees. As men charged with a mission, straight to the point they went. Who art thou? John, reading their thought, denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Still might he prophecy fulfill. They ask, art thou Elias? Remembering how the books of the prophets closed with, Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet to you before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I am not, said John, for teachers sent from God are slow to recognize their own significance. How believe that they were thought of from of old? One query more from these astute inquirers. Art thou that prophet? The prophet like to him who should, like him, lead and command the people that Moses spake of. No, again said John, nor paused to ponder if indeed he were thus honored by God's purpose long before. The baffled questioners became displeased. What right had he without or call or sanction to preach to the people with authority? Who art thou then? What sayest thou of thyself, that we may answer take to them who sent us? John answered by an image, drawn from the east, familiar to his hearers, used by the prophets. When eastern monarch would on journey go, his heralds go before and cry, Make ready! And he, who reaps or sows or tills the soil, must leave his work, go, labor on the road the king will travel, filling up the ruts, lowering hillocks, making straight the crooked. The Baptist tells his mission, not the Christ. I am the voice, saith he, of one who cries in wilderness, make straight the Lord's highway, as saith Esaias the prophet. Each of us, in some sort, is a voice, each speaks a name. By faithful work, true word, we utter, God. Our own poor name, in slipshod work, vain speech. But otherwise the Baptist. No person he with ends of his own to attain, only a voice whose single purpose is to speak one message. Not lost upon these learned his illusion, but petulant, they ask him, Why baptize, if neither Christ, nor Elias, nor yet that prophet? John answered them, I but baptize with water, as any rabbi might his following. But while ye question me, there standeth one, the king I come to herald, in your midst."
Had John that instant seen the gracious presence returned to Bethabara after many days?
"Ye know him not. Eyes have ye, and see not. But he it is who cometh after me, and is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to stoop down and loose." No more of that day know we. What report they carried back to the great Sanhedrin, or had John's speech with Jesus at the pool? Had John fulfilled his debt to God and the world when he proclaimed their king to the waiting Jews? The morrow found him standing by the pool, that baptistry of his, with multitude hanging, as always, on his word. Behold, drawing majestic towards them, that meek man, form luminous to him, blank to the rest, and, as a searchlight thrown on ship at night shows up crew, cordage, every separate plank, a flash of the Spirit lit up all the past and all the future for the prophet's eye. "Behold the Lamb of God," he cried, and the word expounded all the history of the Jews since that black night when out of Egypt came they, fulfilled the hope of the nation, deliverance by sacrifice, and here the Paschal Lamb. Did John indeed interpret his own word, momentous, awful, fraught with pain and bliss? But more, he saw in this his hour of vision, a larger hope than Jewish mind yet held, that taketh away the sins of all the world, taketh with a continual act of taking, till all the sin in me, the sin in you, the black sin in the world that hope dismays, shall all be taken away, and there shall be no more sin. All this saw John as he beheld a man standing in the midst. Yet once again must John declare the precedence of Christ, that law of every court, the king goes first. First in regard of me, first thought of all thoughts harboring in my mind, for whom have I in heaven but thee? In earth who shall compare? Another law of the Spirit's subtle life was given John to declare. He must increase and I must decrease. Hope of Christian hearts, that evermore shall Christ be more and more, and I, unworthy I, be less and less. In expansion of great moment, John tells how. "I knew him not, but that he should be known to Israel came I, baptizing with water." Was it another witnessing or that same? "I beheld the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it abode on him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water gave this sign to me. Even he on whom thou seest the Spirit descend and abide on him is he that shall baptize with the Holy Spirit. This thing I have seen, so bear I witness, this the Son of God." The sign of the dove. What might it mean to John? He knew the sign of the sun, traversing heaven, the signs of the former and the latter rains, knew every leaf inscribed with the name of God, that all things bore the meanings of the Almighty for him who knew to discern the season's signs. The dove that returned to Noah. Spake it not the homing instinct of the human soul that finds no place but in God? The tenderness of cooing mate to mate, that mystery of the bridegroom and his bride, Christ and his church, ineffable in married tenderness? Abiding love, unruffled gentleness, and quietness and confidence and peace, and constancy of one who sticketh close. These things John saw, for all men see as much. By the sign of the dove, John knew the Christ. Even so may we. Where Christ is, there the Spirit broodeth content, constant in holy glee, for he baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Again, upon the morrow, was John standing while two of his disciples talked with him, at that old tryst of the pool. He raised his eyes, and looking upon Jesus as he walked toward the place of cleansing, cried aloud, "Behold the Lamb of God!" And they who heard that living word believed and followed him. Nor envy, nor desertion's bitter pang troubled the prophet's soul, able to see, he must indeed increase, and I grow less. Behold now, washed with water, with Holy Ghost anointed, tempered in temptation's forge, proclaimed by herald king before the people, witnessed by prophet, very Lamb of God, acknowledged of the Father, his own Son begotten, in whom fully pleased is he. With all these signs, now see we Christ go forth, for redemption of mankind to energize, strivings of sinners against himself to bear, to labors, passion, death upon the cross.